Hilltop and Sylvia were having.
Yeah.
You know, when Vic became governor, actually when he was even when he was in the Senate too, we had a company policy that we would not accept or work with the state government anyway at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we said that because we never did much for them anyway, but whenever they periodic contact us for bids and stuff.
Yeah.
And we just said we're sorry we can't participate.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's clearly the safest thing that you can do in those situations. Mm-hmm. And but you know, it's not written in stone.
No.
It's kind of what you decide.
That's right.
And so that's where Kitzhaber is getting in trouble.
Yeah.
And it's still not clear that the laws were violated, but certainly it's in a gray area.
Oh, yeah.
It's just crazy. Just
well,
crazy.
Like, yeah, I can't believe her running her business out of that salon.
out of the governor's mansion.
Out of the mansion, yeah.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Know, that's a thing that makes it more troubling, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, why doesn't she have an office somewhere else?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, especially since there was, the last time I saw your brother was the beginning of June, and then I was off on a vacation. We were talking because I was going off to celebrate my 25th anniversary, and he was going to celebrate his 70th, so we're going to trade anniversary stories when I got back. But just before that is when there was a story in the Oregonian about Governor Kitzhaber basically living up here.
Mm-hmm.
And Vic was quoted in that and say, no, the governor should live in Salem where
that's
the governor
right.
is. And when I saw him, I said, so, you're famous, you're in the paper. He said, you know, I should have been a lot more angry in that. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, also about that mansion, too. When Vic was governor, they wanted to buy it back. They wanted to open up, and Vic said he didn't want to live there. He said it was too expensive to maintain.
Yeah.
And he said, for the amount of time you're going to spend there, he says, I don't believe it's a good idea to put all our money into something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it didn't happen until
Goldsmith,
and there was the money that came in and things like that. But yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, thinking about it, several of the governors didn't really live there. Because it is too big.
Yeah.
It's too weird. And so they put Vic in a rental house where they kept raising his rent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the thing with the Tom McCall had.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's the one that he had, and it was a nice house and very comfortable.
Yeah.
And
Jerry Thompson says it was very nice, except that you could only heat half of it.
The only one?
You could there it only had heat in half the house.
Yeah. And okay, now you just I'll just try to fill in, and I don't have to give any material need or anything. Or no, just talking.
Yeah, just talking. So what happens is, I'm recording this. This is archival quality.
Okay.
And so eventually, all this is going to go to the Pacific University Archives.
Okay.
And what I do with it is I do the archival one, I take it home, and then I convert it into, because archival quality, it turns out, it's a big, big, big file.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And so I take it and I convert it into a file that's more easy to work with.
Okay.
And then as I ask questions and we talk, then I actually use a piece of software that allows me to edit it.
Yeah.
And I don't take any words out, but if it's a conversation, for instance, about, you know, you guys growing up, then it'll be that part will be over here, and I then put it into a file. So the book is being organized as I listen to these things. So I've got personal stuff, management of the governor's office, state legislature. Politics has gotten too big, so I'm going to be cutting that.
Yeah.
Turns out there's a lot of Rajneeshis that show up in there.
Well, that takes a lot of research and a lot of editing, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's great because in talking to people, and the first person I talked to was I did four of these with Vic, and so that was great.
Okay.
And you know, now there are little questions I wish I could go back and ask him, but you know that doesn't happen.
You can't cover everything.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so talking to him was great in kind of laying out where he felt the important things were.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm talking to other people, getting other perspectives. And then beginning in January, I have sabbatical. And so that's when I'll be doing a lot of interviews, but I'll also be spending a lot of time in the archives reading things and really putting things together like that. And finding documents. It's a lot of, for instance, talking with Jerry Thompson, she's willing to talk to me about things that she's never talked to anybody about.
Yeah, marvelous.
And things that, like, there's some things that she never told Vic.
Yeah.
And it's like overhearing people talking about how they were going to get Vic to do what they wanted now that he was governor.
Yeah.
And she never told them that.
Yeah.
But so lots of really good things, yeah, as well as just all these, you know, like your book. You know, oh, here's these five folders that I have that were this, and this. They're yours.
Yeah.
And so that kind of thing.
Yeah. You know, the other thing about Vic, though, too, is that he never let anything bother him.
Yeah. That's what
and in fact, even in business, Richard and I, we would go home, and a lot of times we'd take some of our problems home with us.
Mm-hmm.
Vic was just the opposite. He would go home, he'd forget everything.
Yeah.
And I really admired him for that. He was,
But he
thought things out pretty well, though, before, though, and he was very... he was very sensitive about other people's feelings too.
Yeah, yeah.
But like I say, I always admired him because I can see he was entirely, entirely very complacent.
Uh huh.
And so that was very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things that I was asking Denny Miles and Jerry about is Vic mentions it too, because he did 65 hours of an oral history with the Oregon Historical Society in the early 1990s. And so he talks about it a bit, but it comes up in other things. He would occasionally get very angry.
Oh, Vic would?
Yeah, and so, but very occasionally.
Oh, yeah.
And talking to Denny and Jerry, he never lost it.
No.
It was very instrumental, very focused,
but
it made the message very, very clear. And those kinds of things, whatever it was, never happened again.
Well, it's kind of interesting too, because in a business, because all three of us were in the business,
right,
too, and our whole careers working together, we always got along.
Mm-hmm.
We'd accept each person for their strong points, and if we didn't agree with them, we would express it, but then we'd drop it.
Yeah.
But you don't find that very much in family businesses like that.
Well, especially the second generation.
Yeah, that's right.
And now you're the third.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
is the fourth generation coming along?
Well, yeah, but our son David, the son is there. He's been about 5 years. He's worked at Eugene, a plant, and he's worked at a retail store, and he's worked over the cleaning plant, too.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's getting more involved in management, too. So he'll be the fourth generation.
Yeah.
So
we're
real pleased about that.
Wow. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you growing up kinds of questions. I have the 1930 census from when you guys lived over in your house.
Okay.
And one thing that Vic talked about, especially when he became governor and he was the one who helped create a black commission, a Hispanic commission, you know, appointed people who, women and all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, where we grew up, it was, there were all sorts of different people from different places, and that was just the way it was. And so I had the 1930 census. So
mm-hmm.
you're 8 or 9, and Vic is 7 or 8, and Richard's 8 or 9, obviously.
Yeah.
And you look at the census, and it's amazing. You know, where are the parents from, or where are the kids from? And there's Oregon, Sweden, Oregon, Germany, Syria, people from Maryland. There's just people from all over the place, some Canadians, just in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
I mean, it just points it out. So so what was it like growing up in that neighborhood?
Well, of course, we never thought much about that. I mean, we figured that's just the way things are.
Right.
And in fact, even in grade school, too, we had Japanese, we had Afro-Americans,
mm-hmm.
we had all different nationalities. It was a very mixture, and you know, they always is still in public school.
Mm-hmm.
But we never saw much about it.
Uh-huh.
And we figured that, that we're all Americans, you know. And that's
yeah.
We didn't dwell on it.
Uh-huh. Was there an Arab American community here? Was there anybody besides you guys?
There is one, but they were mostly in other areas of Portland.
Okay.
Most of them were in southeast Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And up in Mount Scott area,
mm-hmm.
up through that area, but very none around where we were.
Uh-huh. And was there, for instance, a church where people went? Where there was like there's the Greek church now.
They have a Syrian Orthodox church,
uh-huh.
and stuff like that too. But we went to just a regular Episcopal church.
Yeah.
In our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And mother and dad, most of their close friends were not Syrians.
Right.
They were other nationalities and things like that, but we're very happy. I mean, Dad had good relations with everybody. He belonged to the Syrian American Club.
Right.
But he never really participated very strongly in it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's not like he was a Royal Rosarian.
No,
for instance. Your dad was a Republican.
Oh, strong.
Okay. Most immigrants become Democrats.
Yeah.
So why do you think he was a Republican?
Well, I think because of his business philosophy.
Okay.
I think he was very strong, oriented toward the business.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't agree with socialism,
mm-hmm.
or the way particularly Roosevelt was taking our country.
Right.
On it too. In fact, he had a lot of. Anti-democratic things in his office. he never displayed them.
Yeah.
But he was a very, 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 very strong Republican.
Uh-huh. Because when in political science, if you want to predict what party someone belongs to, you just look at their parents.
Yeah.
But at some point, it has to start. And so you have to, it's fun to figure that out. And with an immigrant family, you can see a start.
Yeah.
Because, you know, back in what that point was the Ottoman Empire, these are not the political parties.
Because every election, Dad would always have a party. He was hoping that the Republicans would get in.
Mm-hmm.
And after, because they didn't have Tilbeck, and it was all on radio. And
right.
So, and he'd have a party set up and had all the Republican friends there doing. And then after a few hours, it'd be a landslide and everybody would go home.
Alf Landon didn't make it again. Yeah. So, you guys go off to college, and then, did you and Richard join the military before you went to college, or
no.
After you've been in college then joined?
Well, in fact, Rich, Vic, and I all started college together.
Okay.
And,
was that because you guys were working, or?
Well, no, when we were in grade school, you'd have graduation classes twice a year.
Yeah.
And Vic was 18 when he was younger. But then Vic skipped a grade.
Okay.
And in grade school,
he skipped
a grade. They moved him up faster.
Yeah.
And so Richard and I graduated in January, and then Vic graduated in June.
Okay. So you go to college that fall.
And that fall, we all three went to college together.
Yeah.
And I remember what my dad said too. He said, you go to college, and you can do what you want to do. Take what you want to study. And when you finish too, you have to make your own decisions about what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't force us to come into the business at all.
Mm-hmm.
But then we all ended up in the business.
Yeah. Well, and I saw it was great when you and your brother finally got back.
Yeah.
You know, one worked and the other went to school, and then you switched.
Well, we got back because Vic dropped out of college when Dad died.
Yeah.
And then we came back too. Then Richard went to school right away,
mm-hmm.
and I worked a year. And then when he finished, then I went and finished. Because we had 1 year left.
Yeah.
Because we had some educational, about a year of education in the Army.
Oh, okay.
And
And they counted that for
well,
you.
Well, we were in that, they call it ASTP program. Mm-hmm. It was officer training.
Yeah.
And so so we had, we were at Auburn, Alabama.
Oh, great.
For a yeah. whole, for a whole year. And so then we just had 1 year. Because when we went to the service, it was the end of our second year.
Yeah.
Sophomore.
Yeah.
And so then we all just had 1 more year left to finish, so that's why.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You know, the book isn't about you, but there is going to be just a bit, because you and your brother's World War II story is just amazing. And actually, I've been talking a lot with Dana Timms.
Have you read it?
I read the Oregonian pieces.
Oh, yeah.
And Dana Timms is the reporter, and I've been talking to him a lot, and I was mm-hmm. telling him I was going to see him. He said, oh, he's such a nice person. They just, you know, that's an amazing story. When you came back, was it hard to go back in the business, or were you just happy to be back in the United States?
No, because we knew what we wanted to do.
Okay.
We knew what we wanted to do. We wanted to be in the business.
Yeah.
Because in the summer times and everything, too, we'd take turns, and we worked out the store.
Oh, yeah, okay.
When we were in high school.
Yeah.
And so we used to take turns down, take one of us down there, or sometimes take two of us down there, he had to do every job possible. I mean,
yeah.
Sock boys and cleaning up and everything like that. That was the extent of it, and just filling in where they needed us. But no sales. We didn't get involved in
right.
sales until we graduated.
Right.
You know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. So talk about the period after your dad died. So Vic is comes back and is kind of suddenly.
Yeah.
You're running the company. Then you guys come back, and your mom is still there until the early, mid-1950s.
She died in 1950.
50, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So talk about, how did you decide how to run the company? Had you talked about it before? Did it kind of naturally fall into place?
Basically, Vic had been in the business longer than we had because
right.
he finished that term of school and then
yeah.
he dropped out, and so we accepted Vic as the head of the company,
mm-hmm.
Richard and I.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, we all made decisions together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we would all discuss that before we make any decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we. But we always accepted the other person's decisions and why they
mm-hmm.
wanted to do things certain ways. And
mm-hmm.
of course we had differences at the time, but yet we accepted each person and we went on from there.
Yeah. So what was the division? So Richard ended up being the cleaner?
No. We used to clean the basement of the store.
Yeah, to start out, yeah.
We started out cleaning the basement of the store, and then when we decided that this is ridiculous. We were doing everything by hand.
Exactly.
And so I went on a tour throughout the country and looked at different rug cleaning plants.
Mm-hmm.
All in New York, Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
all over, all the big plants over
mm-hmm.
the country. And then I came back, And then we decided we're going to build a plant,
mm-hmm.
and because there wasn't anything in Portland, I mean, everybody was doing the same we were doing, just
right.
other retail stores
yeah.
or dealers.
Yeah.
And so then we built a plant. We borrowed money from the trust that Dad had set up from
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put it above the plant up, and then about 10 years later, we doubled the size of it.
Yeah.
It turned out to be real successful right
yeah.
from the start.
Yeah, the picture in the book is really impressive.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
But, you know, kind of a funny story along those lines, too, that not funny, but I mean, it's kind of interesting that when we first opened the plant,
mm-hmm.
we had some automatic equipment, but
mm-hmm.
not completely like we do now. But anyway, In fact, we could make all the deliveries. We had somebody washing the rugs for us. We didn't want to. We were making all the deliveries, and and pick up, and we did most of the servicing work on the rugs too.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but we that first thing we did, we go pick up a rug, and bring them into the plant, and then. And then Rich and Vic and I, and we had another fellow, I don't know if I told you, but we had a partner named Norm Parsons.
Yeah, his name comes in, yeah.
Yeah, and Norm was in the business along with all of us because he's a caddy for my dad.
Oh, that's right, because your dad,
Then when he graduated, he decided not to go to college.
Yeah.
And so my dad hired him, so he was in the business longer than we were.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like a fourth brother to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, when we came back, then Norm, Richard, and Victor and I, we'd all go down after dinner, and we'd lay the rugs out and check them over and measure them and stuff like that. And this went on for quite a while. And then one day, Vic said, you know, one evening, he said, you know, this is ridiculous. He said, we're picking the rugs off the customer's floor. Well, why don't we measure them in the customer's home?
Mm-hmm.
We were so busy trying to do stuff that we weren't visualizing, which Vic did.
Right.
Visualize. Well, there's an easier way to do things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so was all we did. And we started measuring them in the home. So we eliminated all that night work we had to do.
Yeah, exactly. Which you can definitely see when he's being governor and things like that. He's thinking that exact same way.
Yeah.
Do this, you know, the same thing, but do it better.
Yeah.
If we try to do this thing.
Yeah.
So what was it like when Vic ran for office and won? So he's basically gone for 4, 5, 6 months while the legislature's in session.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a shift in what happens in the company when that happens?
Not too much, because we'd always keep in contact with Vic, and then Vic would come back at the end of the week, and he'd work on Saturdays.
Yeah.
At the store.
Yeah.
And he'd be at the store, and we'd always consult him when he was in the legislature, and if he had ideas too, he talked to us about it when he was in there too.
Mm-hmm.
But he never let the politics. Bother his involvement in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, then later, when he got, in particularly in when he got in the Senate and the minority leader and stuff like that too, he got more involved there too. So he was spending less and less time, but it didn't bother us. We accepted that because he that's what he wanted to do, and we were pleased that he was doing it, and we're working. Trying to better the state.
Yeah.
You know, so we accepted it.
Yeah. Did he have a reduction in salary while that was happening?
No.
Or
we all had the same salary.
Same salary.
We all kept on the same salary.
Okay.
And there was no resentment on our part that we were doing more work than he was.
Yeah.
We figured we were all partners together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see why the shares of the company and that would stay the same, but the salary kept up the same as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Okay. so did he consult with you?
Along those lines,
yeah.
Too. Then, of course, when he became governor, too, then he didn't get any, he dropped out.
Yeah.
No salary.
Yeah.
From the company then.
Yeah, exactly.
We didn't want any conflict.
Yeah, exactly. And legislators don't get paid anything.
No, that's right, they don't.
The governor doesn't get paid that much,
no.
But they get a salary.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
So did he consult with you guys when he decided to run for governor in 74?
Yeah. Well, he told him that he said, will you support me and help me? We said, we'll do all we can to help you.
Mm-hmm.
So we were actually kind of proud that he was going to do that.
Yeah.
And of course, he ran that first race against Straub.
Yeah.
And he won us, but he worked hard to be. He had a good organization.
Started there. It's amazing how that organization of volunteers stayed the same through this the 78 and the 82 campaign.
The whole thing,
yeah. And there was a whole bunch of cards that had people's information on them. And I'm still trying to figure out if any of those still exist, because I'd love to see those.
The cards?
They kept the names of all their volunteers in every city and, oh, really? And area around the whole state.
No,
they had big boxes filled with them.
I never knew that.
Yeah, there was at one point where I think it was in 78, a reporter was challenging something that one of the campaign people said about, you know, you can't tell me that you have these volunteers ready to go all over the place. And they opened a door, and there was a table filled with these cards. And the reporter said, can I just take six of them and just call them and see what's up? And the person said, sure. And the reporter picked up six cards, and he went off, and he called them all over the state. And all the people knew they were on the cards, had a tee of things planned, were talking to the campaign staff, and the reporter came back and said, I believe you. And so to this day, no one knows if he just picked a lucky six cards or what, but it was an amazing organization.
Well, of course, one thing Vic was good at, too, was picking good people.
Yeah.
I think that's the whole key to everything.
His
staff, and then also when he became governor, people to run the department and stuff, he always... Being in business, you know, people don't give retailers enough credit because when you're in the retail business, you're facing different types of problems, and you have to learn how to deal with all kinds of people.
Yeah.
And you can pick out right away who are the good people that are going to be working with you and who are the people that aren't going to give you their 100%.
Right.
And Vic was good at picking out good people.
Uh-huh.
I think that was just part of his business experience.
Yeah. Did you see that grow over time? Did you see him get better at that? By the time he becomes governor, he's very clear he's going to pick good people and he's going to leave them alone.
That's right.
He's going to say, okay, this is what we want to accomplish. You figure out how to accomplish it. And if you need me, you just let me know.
Yeah.
But did you see that? Was he like that from the beginning? Or did you see him learn how to do that?
No, definitely. In fact, when we... Even in business, too, when he gave somebody a task to do, he told him to do it, and then he left them alone. Because he was all capable, and if they couldn't help it, he would give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
But he was very astute about people, I mean, ones that work good and people that weren't.
Right.
Business was the same way. We have really great people in the business. In fact, most of our employees today, still, we've got people that are still working in the company that have been there almost 40 years.
Wow.
We've got about six or seven or eight that have been there over 35 years.
Yeah.
And the retail and the cleaning and things, and they're still there.
So whatever that management style is has gone from generation to generation, too. So people are really picking up on it.
Mm-hmm.
So when he is elected governor, he, you know, he's separated from the business, he's being governor, and at some point he decides that he's not going to come back to the business.
Uh-huh.
Talk about that conversation with him.
Well, I think Parra was, he said he'd been out of it for so long that he felt that we were capable of doing it, and he just wanted to explore other opportunities for him. Because, you know, when Vic went to college, his original intent was to be a lawyer.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, he never did get into involved because he was just there for 2 years.
Yeah.
And so, but he always had the desire to do that, but then that's when after he came in, then he said he wanted to do more consulting work, and he wanted to carry on a lot of the projects that he had as governor, and make sure they were still going forward, and so he wanted to concentrate on that, and that they opened up his own office,
upstairs
in the building,
right?
One office there, and do it. So, and that was fine with us.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have any qualms with it, but he still consulted with us.
Mm-hmm.
We consult with him because we always value his opinion on things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways that he puts it is that when he became governor, he decided that oftentimes it was better to be the sole person making a decision.
Be what?
The sole person making a decision.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you're describing a really good working relationship.
Yeah.
But then after, you know, at that point, it's almost 40 years.
Yeah.
Well, it is 40 years.
Yeah.
And he's ready to make decisions by himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, really.
And that's about the time, this is, you know, mid-1980s, this is about time you guys are heading towards retirement.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense.
Yes, because then, well, for a while, Vic's son was in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And then my son, David, he graduated, and he did graduate work back at Dartmouth.
Yeah.
And then he worked for 10 years at Price Waterhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then he decided he didn't want to make a career of being a CPA.
Right.
And so he wanted to join the business.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think one of the toughest decisions I ever had to make, but I don't want any publicity on it too.
Mm-hmm.
But my son David and Vic's son Tom, they never got along very well.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason was that Tom is very very brilliant and very very astute about promotion and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, and but he wanted to do everything himself.
Yeah.
And David, I realized David was used to working with people.
Mm-hmm.
So we know it wasn't going to work out.
Yeah.
To have them, and so we finally made the decision and we talked to both of them. And it was sad that David was going to stay and Tom was going to start his own business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's why. And he was very successful.
Mm-hmm.
He's been real successful.
Mm-hmm.
He worked with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really proud of what he did.
Yeah.
Because he had a business there of making rugs. He started in China.
Yeah, yeah.
Because his wife spoke Chinese.
Oh, okay, that's, yeah. That's
Wesley.
Yeah.
She was over here teaching, teaching English to Chinese students, but
mm-hmm.
she spoke Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And they had their own looms over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then my uncle died, and then they closed up their import out. You know, he bought a lot of all their designs.
Uh-huh.
From the Eastern Bay, and was manufacturing over in China.
Yeah.
Too, and it was very successful with that.
Yeah.
Too.
That's great.
But then when China started modernizing more, too, then they didn't want to get involved. They wanted rugs, so that's why the business started falling off.
Yeah.
There, so they went to India,
mm-hmm.
and Pakistan, other places,
mm-hmm.
to get their rugs.
Yeah.
And develop their rugs.
Yeah, absolutely. That's an intriguing part of the Atiyah story that I don't think is very well known, is that your uncle, Aziz, actually started some really innovative techniques in opening up his own plants in Persia,
his own
manufacturing
mm-hmm.
facilities, and
mm-hmm.
adapting old designs to modern tastes.
Yeah.
And I loved the different size thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, in fact, he was one of the first ones to develop Oriental rugs, they call them a program rug.
Mm-hmm.
He hired designers.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the designs and the rugs were weavers, they made up their own designs they wanted wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then our uncle had the foresight to hire designers,
mm-hmm.
and make rugs by following the designs.
Yeah.
And then he had this one line was called Kerman Deluxe,
mm-hmm.
and was very successful. Very successful, and during the war, all the designers were were interned,
mm-hmm.
And particularly when Iran broke away,
mm-hmm.
He was able to keep all the time, but they closed the plant already. It was in Kerman,
yeah.
Persia, but Kerman, Iran.
Yeah.
That's where it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember of the trip that you took in 1929?
Well.
And I've talked to Vic about it, because then he was able to go back as governor afterwards. But I have the passenger manifest of all of you coming back.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And so there's, it says Aziz. Was Aziz on long, or was your dad was on long?
Aziz, our uncle, was, he ran the operation back east.
Yeah.
And in fact, they had two different companies. We had a retail store in Seattle. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had a retail store in Seattle and a retail store in Portland, and then we went back there. So we had a corporation out here, and they had a partnership for the
mm-hmm.
import business.
Mm-hmm.
And so Uncle was back east, because they were mostly wholesale.
Yeah.
Business, and here was all retail.
Yeah.
Too. And so. My dad went back to New York to oversee that for part of
mm-hmm.
the time, be that important.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my uncle was overseas because he was touring the plants and over there, but
mm-hmm.
he went over with mother and us boys.
Okay.
And then when we got to Alexandria, I think it was Alexandria, Egypt. We went on to Syria,
mm-hmm.
and Uncle Aziz went over to Persia,
right.
to Iran, too, and that's where separated. And then we came along separately.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. So it's a combination family trip and business trip.
Yeah.
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 Because he was with us until we were in France for a while,
mm-hmm.
and then we went from Marseilles to Egypt,
mm-hmm.
and then the uncle broke off and went to Syria, and
yeah.
we went to visit all the relatives.
Yeah.
He went to Iran, and we went to Syria to visit relatives.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever see that, the family book our daughter put together.
No, no.
Let me show it to you. It's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Suzanne Vick's daughter, she just had surgery.
Oh yeah.
She's in San Francisco right now, but she's on the coast. But here's the book our daughter did for us.
Well, that's great.
And you
that's
might
fantastic.
Want, want
you know, yeah, yeah. Out. Actually, I'll do a little picture taken here too.
Okay. You want to see the cover of it?
Sure.
Because on one side, our daughter, that's little. And this is us later.
That's great.
Uh-huh.
That's fantastic.
If you want to take a look at it, I'll give it to you.
Oh, that would be lovely.
Yeah,
that would be lovely. And I can just scan it at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do that.
That would be lovely.
No, you'll be glad to do that.
Yeah.
And then there's
yeah, there they are.
And then this helps mother and dad.
Oh, it's a great picture. It's funny because it's amazing how much Tom looks like his grandfather.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Tom does. And this is when mom and dad got
mm-hmm.
married.
Yeah, I've seen that picture, but that's a good mm-hmm. quality.
And this is when
mm-hmm.
their citizenships.
Yeah.
And
fantastic.
And this is how their honeymoon.
Uh-huh.
and then this was their whole house.
Yeah. So they met here, right?
No, they met over there.
They met over there.
I don't know how they ever met too, but mother was from Beirut.
Yeah, and she, yeah.
And so Dad went over there, and I don't know if he knew her before or that, but they got married over there.
Huh. It's all because, mm-hmm. Syria didn't exist yet.
Yeah.
Lebanon didn't exist yet.
Well, that was part of Syria.
Yeah, but it was, there's the old Syria, but it was Ottoman Empire.
That's right.
And it was focused on cities.
That's right.
So Homs was important.
That's
Beirut
right.
was important.
That's right.
In between, not so important.
Yeah.
And so it was just, mm-hmm. it would be fascinating to look at.
And it shows up when we were little. Mm-hmm.
And
when you later on, when you see it here too, that's Richard, there's Victor.
Uh huh. Well, it's exactly what he looked like.
Uh-huh.
His whole life.
And then there was only 18 months difference, so they had all of us. Mother used to dress us all as triplets. So you'll see a lot of pictures, all of us dressed the same way, like here and here.
Uh huh. And Victor was always bigger.
Yeah.
So that the size looked the same.
Mm-hmm. And then this is mother and dad,
mm-hmm.
and that mother with our three boys.
Now, did you call him Victor?
Yeah, we call him Victor or Vic.
Okay.
I still think they call him Victor.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'll get it to you. But there's a whole deal.
Yeah.
But here's what I'm talking about, the trip to Syria. You're talking about that.
Oh, great.
And then this is mother. Uh-huh. That's in.
Says probably a port of call in Egypt.
Yeah. And then also, Dad had a car shipped over.
Oh, great.
It was an old Franklin car.
Uh-huh.
And we got it for Brady and Graham here in Portland.
Oh, wow.
And in fact, our son David, we took over these pictures and gave Brother Braley a copy of them. But they shipped the car over there, so we had our own car over there.
Fantastic.
And we got there, we had it. And,
And
here talked about the car.
Uh-huh.
I think, I don't know.
Yeah, the car goes from here to here and there to there.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
And the cost of the car in those days was $2,100.
Yeah, $2,100, which is a huge amount of money in that time.
For that time.
Yeah.
So, and then this is Syria.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Is that all you guys?
Yeah, that's real.
Uh huh. That's great.
And.
Mm-hmm. And then Vic goes back.
So then this is up the mountains. But
mm-hmm.
But I just want to show you that that other part. And Vic and I were in the Boy Scouts together.
Mm hmm.
And then we later in the Sea Scouts, but Richard never did get involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, Victor has a funny story of being in the Sea Scouts and going down the Columbia River and all of a sudden smelling a barn. Because they had, on the islands, they had the horses there to pull in salmon. So something that we just wouldn't think of today.
So this tells about our World War II experience.
Yeah.
And pictures.
Yeah, there's your story right there.
And then we came home. And
mm-hmm.
There it was back there. And then here are the stores.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
But here's all the children.
Oh, great.
And there's Vic's children,
right.
Son and his daughter,
right.
And then this is Richard's 90th birthday.
Uh huh.
And these are our children, and these are Vic's grandchildren.
Uh huh.
And that's our daughters. So they're all marked who they are.
Yeah.
You know. That's the one that lives up in Alaska now.
Oh, great. And
then this is Richard, because he had a lot of kids. Yeah, he had 18 or 19 great-grandchildren.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So,
My goodness. So he gets an old page.
Yeah, and here are the generations.
Oh, wonderful.
Right.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one reason I have the documents and the census is just to keep track of things.
Yeah.
I started an Atiyah family tree on Ancestry.com.
Oh, yeah.
So I have, you know, pieces here. And I actually got, because yours goes back into Syria, and then the records just aren't there.
Yeah.
After that.
Well, yeah.
But for Vic's wife, it goes way back into England. I have her stuff way back into England.
Oh, really?
Which isn't really relevant for the book at all, but all of a sudden it's just like it's way back there.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thanks, but yeah.
I go see her just when I leave, when you throw the lever. They've got her in a place where it's not working out very well for her right now.
Is she still in a rehab place? Or?
Well, she was over at the Marquee at Vermont Hills. For Medicare and stuff like that too, that she had to leave there after so many weeks.
Yeah.
So that they had her have her in a place over by Washington Square, but she's got the dementia.
Yeah.
But they got her in a place which is bad. It's because it's the people they're too far along in Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
So now they're in the process of moving her to a foster home temporarily.
Yeah.
Because they want to get her into where Richard was.
Uh-huh.
Over there, but she has to walk in.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah.
They're working with therapists to get her back on her
feet.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but then the process now trying to get her out of where she is now moving.
Yeah.
Hope to do it next week or so.
Yeah.
Moving out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, did you know her in high school?
Oh, yeah, because in fact, Vic, she went with Vic in high school.
Uh-huh.
They went together in high school. So we, because she and Vic were behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And, we know. And in fact, two of Vic's closest friends, there was, one was Jim Campbell, one was Tom Galt, Jim's wife, Jim passed away, but mm-hmm. his wife Donna is still one of Dolores' best friends.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in fact, Tom Galt's still living, and he and his wife are in a assisted living place right now, too. But I see him, I saw him last Thursday again, too, but we see him periodically, too. But we've always been real close.
Mm-hmm.
But they were Vic's closest friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
In high school and college. In fact, we were all in the same fraternity together.
Oh, great. Great. Mm-hmm. Did you stay active in the fraternity afterwards? I know Vic would go down to Eugene all the time.
Richard and Vic stayed more than I did.
Uh-huh.
More involved than
uh-huh.
I did. I still go to the alumni meetings,
mm-hmm.
the dinners, they have one once a year.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Fantastic. So after Vic retired, or after Vic left the governor's office, and he's in his own business, you were saying that you and Richard would consult with him, you know, if there were things that came up, but you know, it's a separate thing at that point. How happy do you think he was in his consulting years? Did he like that?
Vic never did express himself to a feeling very much.
Uh-huh.
He never did.
Uh-huh.
In fact, Dolores bothered by a bit because a lot of times he wouldn't be feeling it, but he never say anything about it.
Yeah.
And in fact, in July, on the 5th of July, was their 7th anniversary.
Yeah.
And so Karen and I went over there to see him, and they had fallen down that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in horrible pain, but we didn't know it.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And he broke a rib and cracked a rib. Too.
Yeah.
But we didn't know it. He never told us.
Hmm.
That's the way he was.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Denny Miles, because Denny didn't know any of this until like the 12th or the 13th.
Yeah.
Vic didn't call him until Dolores was having to go into the hospital.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they had a deal, if anybody went into the hospital, then Denny would do a press release.
Okay.
And so Denny didn't know any of this. But then Denny found out that, Victor had fallen on the anniversary.
Yeah.
And he said, "So, boss, did you do any funny dancing or anything?" Which made Victor laugh. And with his broken rib, it hurt.
Yeah.
Which made him laugh even harder. So,
yeah.
Denny's,
Vic fell on the anniversary, and then the following Monday, Dolores fell. So, afterwards. And then it bothered Vic because he wasn't up to it, and Dolores was in the hospital. He couldn't get him up there to see her.
Yeah.
And that really upset him.
Yeah.
You know, but then finally Tom and got him up there.
Yeah.
To see her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But everything just piled up, and in the meantime, the first part of July, you know, Richard's son had that horrible plane crash.
Yeah.
And in fact, he's still serious condition.
Is he back where the crash happened, or did they move him?
Well, he was back there for a couple months,
mm-hmm.
and he was in a trauma center,
mm-hmm.
hospital,
mm-hmm.
and then they got him transferred to Portland.
Mm-hmm.
They brought him by a private air ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
Before they put him in the marquee.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we used to go up there to see Vic Dolores and George,
mm-hmm.
and things. But then about three weeks or so ago now, he was going to the doctor regularly too, and they found some more blood on his brain.
No.
And so they put him in Emmanuel Hospital. He just got out the first of the week.
Yeah.
From there. But he was in intensive care for about 3 weeks. They had to shave his head and cut his head open again too.
To get the blood out.
And
yeah.
So he's still in pretty bad shape.
Yeah.
So that's been about 11. July, that was about 3 months ago.
It's been a while. But
now he's back in the marquee. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to get him in good enough condition that there's a real nice rehabilitation place over in Northwest Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to get him in there, but he's not quite ready for that yet. So they hope to get him there soon.
Yeah.
So take care of him.
Yeah.
So we had him on our plate.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Good. So any last things you'd like me to know about your brother or about...
No.
The Atiyah brothers' business and what it was like, or
no, I can't really do. I mean, we only thing is, I just would like to say is that all three of us, we're all for our whole lives, we're always close.
Yeah,
and our families were always close, and we always got together quite a bit. In fact, we used to get together with Vic and Dora about every week or so and go out for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I was over there about once a week, or he was over here once a week.
Yeah.
Else. But all three of us grew up in this neighborhood.
Yeah. And did Richard live around here too?
Yeah, Rich lived about a block away.
It's funny. I grew up with a pair of twins down in Medford.
All right.
And they went off, and for the last 20 years, they've lived two blocks away from each other.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know, it just, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, because Vic lives up the other end here, and then Richard lives about two blocks from here.
Yeah, and just up from the old farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where Fred Myers is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, we got here because we had three children. Richard had three children. Vic had two children, and it was about a 1 year difference.
Oh.
All of them. So for about 8 years, they all went to the same school.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah.
There was one Atiyah after the other.
Exactly.
For 8 years.
Fantastic.
But we had, I can say it, I think Richard and Victor beside me, my brother, they were my closest friends.
Yeah.
Too. They really
were. Yeah.
Now it's still hard to imagine they're both gone.
Yeah.
Because I locked them both in Louisville.
Yeah.
And I'm the oldest.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, how come it's me?
Yeah. Yeah.
You kept thinking about that.
Yeah.
You know. But we had a good life together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And our whole families and so we were very thankful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So that's about all.
Yeah. No, that's great. No, as you know, I'm going through things. If I have other questions, I'd love to sit down and talk to you.
I would appreciate it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I'll scan this and then get it back to you as well.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
No big hurry. So our daughter done quite a few of these different books for her family too.
Yeah.
But she's had great fun doing that.
Yeah. Well, I have friends who do this for their vacations now.
Oh, yeah.
They go on vacations, and they come back, and they do one of these books. They're relatively cheap to put together.
Oh, yeah.
And, and when you look at it, it's just amazing. It's like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, they do it all on a computer.
Yeah, they do it all on a computer.
And then they mail it in, and they print it and send it back to you.
And send it back to you, and there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
It's hard to fathom, isn't it?
It is really hard to fathom.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I'm really looking forward to your book when you get it done.
Well, it's an interesting process, and it's really fun to get in. And your brother was very clear. I mean, the first time I sat down and interviewed him, we spent 10 minutes with him saying, "This is your book. I'm just a source in it, but it's your book."
Yeah.
He said, "If you find anything that looks like there's something that went wrong, I want you to put it in the book."
Yeah.
Because the way he saw it is, he did things, but he was able to do that because he was a part of the times. And so it's Vicatea does things, but it's because the politics is like this, or the culture is like this, or, you know, the history is like this.
Yeah.
And so that's the only condition under which I would write the book.
Yeah.
So it's great.
Yeah. I know you're going to do a good job, Joe.
Good. Thanks. Thanks. Thanks for the vote of confidence.
But you know, it's kind of interesting. We had about three of our cousins and their spouses and some of their children came off for a memorial service.
Yeah.
And the oldest, that's our uncle, grandchildren, but Phil, the youngest son, was his oldest daughter. He had I think six children.
Mm-hmm.
But his oldest daughter, kind of interesting. There's this fiction writer named Nelson DeMille.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know him?
Mm-hmm. I've heard the name.
Yeah, but he writes the book. In fact, our son-in-law reads all his books. He's very pleased. But anyway. She reviews all his books.
Oh, great!
And that's her job.
Yeah.
And she's doing it for years. She's been doing that.
Yeah.
So she edits all the fiction books.
Wow, that's great.
And kind of interesting because they have all of the references and the stuff of people involved, but her name was mentioned. We never realized until she was out here.
Yeah.
That was her job doing that.
Huh.
Editing.
Yeah.
In his books for him.
That's fantastic.
And so it's great. But if you have any questions, I'd be very glad to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do all I can to help you.
Absolutely. Good. Yeah, you know, I'm still doing interviews, and I'll be picking the interviews up once I get my sabbatical started. But I'm going to be spending a lot of time.
Your sabbatical?
Semester. So I'll have from the end of January, and then because of summer, all the way up until school starts.
Okay.
So next summer, my wife and I are planning. We do a big trip every year to Europe, or every other year to Europe. So this year for our 25th anniversary, we were in Europe. That's what Vic and I were going to talk about when we got home. So next year we're not going to go to Europe. But I'm thinking, and my wife is really intrigued by it, Vic, especially when he was governor, traveled so much in Oregon. I'm going to use, because he's got cards that say where he was and what he did and things like that. We may put together like two or three of those trips and go drive them.
We've done quite a few earlier years, and all the places I've been, I still thoroughly enjoy seeing all the sights in Oregon.
Yeah, yeah.
Really do. And particularly up in the Mojaves, Joseph and all those areas up there, eastern Oregon. Fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah. And have you ever seen the art? The bronze foundry?
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
They're fascinating, too. And of course, remember all the trips we took to Crater Lake and Oregon Caves and the Millville's up the Rogue River.
I grew up in Medford, so that's my home. That's my home ground right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of interesting. People, the house for sale now across the street from us.
Mm-hmm.
Too, she was an executive with Hannah Anderson at the Children's
mm-hmm.
Clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And about 2 years ago, she got a year ago, she was appointed a senior, one of the executives of Harry and Davis down in Medford.
Yeah.
So they had to move down down to Medford.
Yeah.
So that's why this house is for sale.
Okay.
They're a lovely family. But they haven't sold a house yet, but they understand we think they bought a house down there in Medford.
That's funny, because that's how I when I first introduced myself at the memorial afterwards, I was talking about Shirley Hersher.
Oh, yeah.
Because we knew the Herschers because Terry was up here with PPNL and then went down there.
Okay.
And then came back up here and then went back down there.
Yeah.
And so I got to know their family very, very well.
Yeah. She's in the PEO with Karen.
Yes.
And they're it's an awfully nice person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her husband, both are lovely people.
Yeah.
In fact, the people just down here, two houses, name is Gooding, Chuck and Ruth Gooding, but his father, I thought they're name, but he was one of the executives at one time at Harry and David.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. The house I grew up in Medford, the house right next to it was where Harry lived.
Uh-huh.
He not when I was there, but there was, in the concrete out in front, was a big script H.
Right there. Couple of times a year, sometimes two or three times a year, we send gift boxes to parents and other goodies up to our granddaughter up in Alaska.
Yep.
We always look forward to getting those.
Yeah, well, especially since Harry and David has always guaranteed we aren't going to leave them on the front step and they're not going to freeze.
No, that's fine. So back, there's never the offer any coffee or anything.
Oh, no. This is.